Want to see him?
See him?
The corpses.
What are you talking about?
They're down in the basement.
No.
Come on.
No way.
Here we are. We're back, everybody. Welcome to another sordid tale from the dungeon annals of the Black Castle. Specific for you Ko-fi donators that we love. And we humbly thank you. Chuck.
Yeah.
Chuck is here with me.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
Sorry, he was putting his, he was getting the prisoner and slapping him down in the Iron Maiden from whence the prisoner will record.
Yeah, it's a whole thing getting, you know, you got to coordinate with the guards to make sure all the doors are open and unlocked and walk the prisoner out. And the prisoner's usually slow because they weighted down. Those shackles are heavy.
Yeah.
You know, you can't see that on TV, but the shackles are, you know, what are they, like 40 pounds?
And who knows what's been going on and what's been gone down and down here in the rear ends of the prisoners that we have. This episode we have none other than technical advisor Slim, co-host of the 70 Millimeter Podcast. Slim, we hope your stay has been lovely down here.
Speaking of rear ends, here's
speaking of one such problematic.
The Black Castle. We made it.
We made it.
I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
The Black Cave. The Dark Dungeon of Ko-fi.
Of Black Dungeons. Castles.
Is it Ko-fi or coffee? I always thought it was coffee. Like get, drop us a coffee.
Drop us a coffee. Buy us a coffee. Yeah, but I...
Is it coffee?
The Black Coffee.
It is Ko-fi because I listened to a couple official YouTube channels, you know, introducing them to us, and they've been nothing but good to us ever since we signed up.
Really?
The Ko-fi.
My gosh. Yeah, no. Good for you guys.
No, yeah, it's been a great experience so far.
It's fantastic.
Some kind of collab? It sounds like, I know you probably can't talk about it, but it sounds like there's some kind of collab. Maybe in the works.
If by collab you mean just CC them to death in a tweet and Instagram post until they reply to you or recognize that you're alive, it's any day now. It's going to happen.
Did Chuck, do you watch Discovery Plus? Seems like up your alley. Discovery
Plus. Yeah, I had it for a while. I don't know if I still have it or not. No, I think I canceled it. But when I had it, I every like year or two, I go hard on, what's that show? The Gold
Ghost
Miners?
Adventures.
Not Ghost Adventures. No, I get sucked into the Gold Miners. Mm. It's like idiots in Alaska and the Yukon. Mm. And it's just their whole lives and their relationships back home are disintegrating while they're
interesting
moving Earth through the Trumbull or whatever it's called.
Yeah. There's a show on there that I started that popped up after watching some Bigfoot hunting show, but it was like a vampire reality show. It was like a vampire hunter faux reality show, but it wasn't like played for comedic effect. So it was like a drama, but they're obviously like fake vampire hunters. And I couldn't wrap my head around it. It was so bizarre.
Wow.
That's on Discovery Plus.
Yeah. I mean, there's like the content on Discovery Plus is through the roof. There's
I have seen that. Yeah. Was it the Sasquatch hunter, the Bigfoot hunter guys? Mm-hmm. Like those old
Expedition
men
Bigfoot.
Who like go out with flashlights and they pretend they hear something and they go, oh my God.
Yeah. We're big on Expedition Bigfoot. It's on season 3 right now.
Jeez.
Big production show. They just use like a brand new drone that was going to really open things up in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
But it didn't really.
They can cover more square acreage. Miles of square acres to pinpoint that son of a bitch.
That 480p camera on the bottom of that drone, really finding the one animal that you want to see, a Sasquatch.
Yeah. Oh, that's just an elk.
They need it.
Slim, it was only natural to invite you down here and shackle you up to this device. It's quite uncomfortable, I know, but it was only natural to get you down here and get you on this show because you're the reason this show exists. Your face says it all. I know. my sweet friend. Yeah.
Tell me more. I'm listening.
Well, what you do is, you know, you're an idea man, right? But then you start working and pressuring. You're like a cat, like kneading constantly. And then, you know, eventually you wear us down and you basically are just like, you know, this is what you need to do, Dale and Chuck, right? We're months into this pandemic and we're all buckling under the weight. And if we don't get a show, and I think you gave us the push in the right direction.
Yeah. Some might call it bullying. Right, Dale?
I do remember bullying. What's another word for bullying that doesn't sound as negative? Yeah, prodding.
Like bullying with the best intentions.
I remember, yeah. I can't remember. There was a Slack discussion or a Discord discussion that we had. And yeah. Someone came up with the idea of you two talking about, you know, just filth movies. Right. And to me, it sounded like the greatest idea I'd ever heard. And I wouldn't rest until it was a real thing. I remember DMing you. What's the status? You guys finished? You guys do that podcast yet?
Yeah, that's your method.
What's the name of the podcast? Yeah, that's your method. You guys figure out a name yet?
We waited a long time. Correctly, too.
It was all under wraps until the day it came out. Like, you guys stopped talking about it, and then it was happening.
Oh man! So you're never at rest. Your mind, even then, even when I think, oh, he's probably forgotten about it now. You're like analyzing the data that's coming across your feed daily, and you're like, they haven't mentioned it. Something is up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm on day 13 of trying to edit the show. Which is like the first editing I've done since our paper keg days when I did it twice. And it was bad. I mean, it was bad. Yeah, I almost called the show.
You were stressed. I remember because that was the first. I mean, we'd podcasted together for, by that point, 300-ish paper keg episodes.
Yeah.
And if we had brought up the idea of you editing a show at that point, you would have poopied in your drawers.
Yeah.
And then that you would like take over a lot of that and learn it. I mean, that's no small feat, learning how to edit a podcast, launch a podcast and learn how to edit for half the shows too.
I know. And it's all about, you know, fear. And you, my friend, are the best at making people, I'm trying to be serious here. You try to bring out the best in people and let them know that they need not be afraid to try things.
Thank you.
And
it was worth it.
I hope so, because we suck.
I say this on 70mm all the time. Bat and Spider is my favorite podcast. It's the only podcast I'll listen to right away in the morning when that download is ready.
Wow. You hear that, Mom?
Take that, Mom. Except Crypt Keeper drops at like 8 p.m. Saturdays. I'm like, I can't listen to that right now. I got to wait.
You used to bug me when it was late, though.
I did. Because you would like legit forget to edit it. You'd be like, oh shit, I gotta edit.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
Like, oh, it still happens all the time.
It's like episode 47. It's been almost a year of weekly edits and drops.
Yeah, I was thinking about this earlier. Like when we started Paper Keg, there was no like Discord, public Discord to kind of like chat with people that listened to the show. Mm-hmm. We were lucky enough over the years to have a Slack where 15 of us became lifelong friends from Paper Keg, Chuck included.
Yeah, yeah. Very grateful for
that. But now it's a lot easier to, you know, confirm your thoughts on if you're actually making something good.
Yeah. And did you guys have like a Facebook group or anything back then?
We might have had a Facebook.
Yeah.
And that's it. I did not update that thing.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like, when you guys were doing that, like people hadn't figured out the like small community thing, I feel like.
Online. Oh yeah, no. The amount of top limit Google waves that we went through on a daily basis. God. That was like our first
Google wave
community. Pour one out.
That was
Google
fun.
Wave.
We had Google wave. We had, I mean, like all of our shows still do letters and voicemails, but like
that helped
the main conduit that we had.
Yeah.
And then I mean, pulled the curtain back even more. We covered Chuck's book.
Yeah.
And then, isn't that how you found the show? Did you listen because we covered it?
I think so. Yeah. Sick. I saw the name pop up, so I listened to it. And then that summer, I listened to like every episode then. And then,
I don't even know if I knew that.
Yeah. We lived in a different place, but I would mow the lawn and listen to you guys like every week, constantly.
Bless.
I mean, I was thinking about this, like I said earlier, but like Paper Keg, I mean, where would not, this isn't like a humble brag, but like, where would any of us be if we didn't do Paper Keg? What would we be doing right now?
Yeah. I'm honest to God, I think about that as, you know, in many ways, it saved me in different ways, you know, and put me on a path of, you know, where we are now. We were lucky enough to get Slack when Paper Keg was hitting its stride, but still, that was invite only, and, you know, we weren't in control of our own Slack at the time, and it wasn't, you know, that was more of a, you need to be invited to this thing, and if you're invited,
you get in the know.
Yeah, if you know, you know.
We might have even tweeted it out towards the end, like, if you want to join our Slack.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was something like that at one point.
Old school.
Yeah. Old school. And now it's just like, join our Discord, you know, and it's fantastic. The community that has been built between all of us, you know, it's.
I was gonna say, I like how each Discord is its own personality. Like the Bat and Spider Discord is 100% a Bat and Spider Discord. There's almost like crossover, but it's very distinct in though that community is very specific.
Yeah.
And it fits the vibe of the show, which I love.
The only thing I feel like the only negative about that is like I have to remember my personality for each Discord because it gets shaped, you know, by the jokes and like what people expect of you, you know? You know, like in Bat and Spider, I'm like, I'm bullied by Cablasto. So I'm like, I'm always on the defensive, you know, and I'm very curt, especially with him.
But yeah, that's true. But Chuck's, you know, outward personality, you catch him on Twitter. I mean, he could show up in 70 millimeters Discord and start throwing his weight around, right? Like
he could. He could be a legend in
70. Nobody would know me in there.
It's like Jordan coming back on the court after his second retirement. Yeah. Chuck type something out in 70 millimeter.
Right. And people would be just like in awe, right?
Plus we also have our own, you know, disclaimer, we have our own
Wow.
Sorry, you can cut this out.
No.
We have our own Discord, you know, just of our close friends.
Right.
You know?
Because
the private chat. It's private.
Yeah.
And we have to check ourselves, make sure stuff we're typing, I had to make sure this is our Discord.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't want to get kicked out of my own Discord. God forbid. Strung up.
I mean, if I was to go unbridled in 70 millimeter, I mean, my own best friend would kick me. He would have to kick me out because of business.
It's just business. Heel of his boot presses against your forehead.
Yeah. You'd have to say you got hacked. I just got hacked.
Right. And I would be DMing you in our private Discord just like for you to agree and cover. Like, oh, yeah, that was... I'm with Dale right now, and then that's not him. Dale's with me. Yeah.
Hey, these things don't leak, do they?
Leak? Hell no. These things were made by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
Oh, fuck!
Guys, let's talk about what our prisoner has picked for us to discuss this time in the castle walls. What did you pick, prisoner Slim?
Oh God, one of my favorite movies that I finally rewatched. Let me see if I can pull up the date. I finally rewatched it in 2020 after seeing it as a kid, and it shaped my entire core. As a human being, and that's Return of the Living Dead, 1985. Dan O'Bannon.
Spider. Half dogs.
Yeah. It shaped your... Now, we got to get into that. Shaped your core as a human being.
When you say a kid, do you remember... I've been struggling to remember the first time I watched this movie. For some reason, I don't have a distinct memory for it. But do you guys know your first encounter with this movie?
I was trying to think of what service or channel I would have watched it on because my Letterboxd review is me like wondering if this isn't more of a cult hit because of the amount of nudity in it and how like it had to have been hard to make a TV edit of this because you're cutting out like almost all the cemetery scenes. Mm. So maybe I saw it on like an HBO or a Prism, but I don't even think we had that. So maybe somebody rented it and we watched it and I was just like in the room and mortified and horrified.
Yeah.
Who would seeing
like an older sibling renting that?
I don't know, because it doesn't feel like a movie that my family would rent.
Right.
So maybe I was over someone else's house and they had a tape or something. But I was definitely like 11 or 12 when I saw it.
Wow.
And when I rewatched it in 2020, it was like all the memories were coming back.
Wow.
Of seeing all those frightening scenes.
Yes.
The music. I mean, what an experience watching this movie. Taylor, what about you? Do you remember where you saw it?
So I can remember watching, peeking through fingers. I was probably younger than 11 or 12, but I would be at my dad's, and my dad would always, like any probably dad who wants to just watch what he wants, he would always leave something on TV until it like lingered too long, and then it's either getting to be too much for with a kid in the room, or something like that, and he would have changed it. But I remember scenes of this movie, specifically, Freddy, like begging because he smells his girlfriend's brains.
I don't care, darling, because I love you. You've got to let me eat your
Like, I remember being absolutely terrified, and the half dogs. And looking at the half dog scene now, it's so stupid because of the way the two chuckleheads play it as they're like beating the half dog. But I remember being terrified with the concept of that these half dogs that probably don't exist ever, they're coming back to life with their little barking, you know, they're like toy poodle sized dogs mounted on stands. Like I remember that specifically, and I remember, you know, Freddy begging to just be able to munch on his girlfriend's brains.
Wow. That's amazing.
And I remember being absolutely terrified for however many years until I watched it again, you know, in the past five.
I was probably in my late teens when I saw it, because I don't have any memories of it actually scaring me. I just remember it making me laugh quite a bit and being very fascinated by all the music in it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, when you're, you know, we had punk rock in my town, but I wasn't allowing myself to be into it because I was scared, you know? Wow. But hearing all the death rock on this, it's, you know, like hearing the Cramps for the first time, and I mean, the 45 Grave song, the Party Time song, when the movie really kicks into gear, and it was just like, what is this feeling I'm having?
That song, when the song kicks on and it's timed perfectly with the skull opening his mouth.
Yeah.
Do I mean, is this a perfect party? Is this a perfect movie?
It is.
I ask you, is this a perfect film?
It is, and I always forget it's Dan O'Bannon, and it's his directorial debut. He wrote and directed it. I always forget this. Toby Hooper was supposed to direct this movie from a different script, but he backed out because he was doing Life Force. So they asked Bannon to do it, and he said he would agree if he could rewrite the whole script. I just looked at the Wikipedia. There's a quote from Dan O'Bannon. He says, "I spent 37 years of my life not even being alive. Now I'm fulfilled." And this was his feeling on being able to make this movie.
Oh my God. What a
Jesus. Yeah, did the wind take his dusty body away after he said that? Did he turn to dust and the wind sweep him away?
I hope this was like his last words on his deathbed. That would be.
Yeah, unfortunately, he did go on to direct another movie that I watched. The Resurrected with Chris Sarandon.
Oh.
So I rewatched this, I looked at his filmography. He had written, I mean, his credits are iconic. He had written Alien, Total Recall, Return of the Living Dead, Life Force, and Invaders from Mars. Invaders from Mars was another movie that freaked me out as a kid. Remember when like it was like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, all the parents in the town were being taken over by the aliens?
I've never seen that.
Oh my God, there's a shot of the kid like walking up a hill and there's a fence where the alien spaceship lights come up, and that haunted me as a kid.
Wow.
That like it was formative. But O'Bannon's credits are insane.
Yeah.
And then so I checked out the Resurrected, his other directorial movie. It's about a wife that enlists the help of a private detective to find out what her husband is up to in a remote cabin. That's Chris Sarandon. But it was kind of a dud.
Well, the thumbnail on Letterboxd does make it look like it was released recently and on some sort of...
Right, that's a newer poster.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but the thing with this movie, every time I watch it, it feels... It has a quality... I think the reason it you're saying, is this a perfect movie, is because when I watch it, the feeling I get is that it gives me that feeling of watching it for the first time every time I watch it. I know everything that's going to happen, but it, for some reason, it has this spontaneity and this, and the comedy too, and this goofiness, but it always just feels like it's like happening for the first time in front of my eyes. And it's just like, I don't know. I get into this space where I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. This is kind of insane, you know? Yeah. And I always like think like, how intentional was, you know, I don't want to like insult anyone who made this movie, but like, how intentional was the feeling of this movie? Like the quality of the horror mixed with the comedy. It's such a like, it's such its own thing.
It's a bold, it's like a bold, intentional choice. Yeah. But you have to wonder how many times that intention has been made in other movies and failed miserably.
Yeah, because right? it reminds me very much of like a trauma movie from this time, but yeah. it's not as like it, like they're not flooring the gas pedal. Like they're very good at evening it out and not like pushing you too hard. You yeah. know, it's like trauma just goes like, you know, we're gonna hit the pedal to the metal and throw a bucket of snot in your face and laugh.
A bucket of snot and like slapstick.
Yeah.
To the max.
Yeah.
It's so good that it makes me like question why. Like, I would have to assume it's Dan O'Bannon giving that direction to all the actors, especially Frank. Like, Frank plays it. Frank should have got an Oscar.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Incredible.
100%.
It's got to be my favorite horror performance ever. Like, even the scene where they're like trying to. They cut the cadaver's head off and he's just screaming over and over again. It's insane. So I watched this with Amanda. We've seen it. She watched it with me the last time I watched it. So we had an amazing time watching it.
Yeah.
She loved it. And it made me like think like it had to have been Dan O'Bannon who's giving that direction. So then at that point, I'm like rethinking, why didn't Dan O'Bannon continue this success? Was this like, but your quote, like maybe he, this was all he really ever wanted to do. This was his one thing. Like, this is the best it's ever going to get. I don't need to do anything else after this.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, movies, they seem very hard to make, you know, as someone from the outside, just reading about them. So I just wonder if this was just like the stars lined up and he could do what he wanted, you know, and it just never happened again, you know?
I mean, especially now, I was lustful after watching this 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I went ahead and made the mistake to watch the sequel. Did you ever an attempt?
I have never watched a sequel.
Now, my dad must have watched like a twofer on whatever channel it was on, because I remember scenes from the second one.
Oh, really?
Back in the day, specifically.
Frank's in it?
Yeah.
I just looked it up right now.
Whoa,
Frank and Freddy are in it.
What?
But they're worthless in the movie. It's almost like a rehash of, it's like Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2. Slim, I'm sure you'll appreciate that having just experienced. It's just like a retelling, but they reference the first movie, but Bert and Freddy play different characters in it, and it's the most unfunny.
Oh, weird.
Thing. I mean, I watched half of it, and I'm like, I can't. I'm...
I was just wondering why I didn't see your log of the movie.
Yeah, no, I mean, I bought it.
Question.
I bought it for $15 on Amazon, too.
Oh, my God. How about these posters? This poster of Return of the Living Dead Part 2 and Fright Night being identical.
Oh, yeah. That's the only thing I know about Part 2 is that I love the poster.
Yeah.
You know, oh yeah, are. Yeah. That's right. That's the sequel to this. It's just the like the vapors with the the head on top.
Mitch Pileggi is in Return of the Living Dead. Did you get to far enough to see Mitch Pileggi? It's the guy from X-Files. Mitch Pileggi, he played like Mulder and Scully's boss.
Oh, that guy. Boss.
All right, let me see. I see Doug Benson's in the sequel. That's random.
The one thing, too, that a random thing, who played Freddy? Tom Matthews.
Yeah.
He's in another movie. I think it was a Friday the 13th movie where he's wearing almost identical suspenders.
Yes.
And jeans, which I thought was very strange.
Maybe they just was like, you know what? Just BYO.
Just keep wearing it.
Bring your outfit.
No, yes.
It's my thing. It's my thing.
Bring your little suspenders here. We'll let it happen.
I always forget that in my mind, the movie ends when Freddy bursts up through the ceiling. And then the movie, there's like a long pause of 3 seconds where it's just like a blur of Freddy in his varsity jacket or whatever. But then it goes like to the military stuff. I always forget that that exists.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But the general that's like in charge of monitoring the phones, I like when he comes home from a hard day at work and he's like, "What's for dinner?" And the wife's like, "Lamb chops." He's like, "I had those for lunch." It's such a random thing.
It was, see, it's stuff like that. Like, it's like, it's like, so they were trying to establish, oh, they're very, you know, this is like a Reagan and Nancy and, you know, Ron type relationship. Mm-hmm. This is a 50s couple who are like, they hate each other, but, you know, they're hitched to the wagon. But it comes off as so hilarious that scene. Oh, my God.
Imagine having his job. Also, I mean, the plot of the movie. That like Night of the Living Dead was based on a true story.
Yeah.
And they shipped the corpses in a containment unit, but we got one by accident. Let's go check it out in the basement. And then it opens.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love it. And then the music kicks off from there too. That great soundtrack.
Oh, with that synth.
Yes.
Oh, man. And Frank's like, he's like, sorry. He's like, I want to go. You want to go check it out? It's in the basement.
I love that. I love that so much.
I like it.
He's so happy to show the new kid like all the cool stuff in the medical warehouse.
Mm-hmm. And they're so. I can't get over the fact that it's July 3rd at like 7:15 p.m.
Yeah.
Go, everybody, go home. Yeah. Because you're taking the tomorrow off anyway.
Also, the boss was a great character. His name escapes, but he felt like a perfect casting for this role, too, because his delivery of the lines.
It's Bert.
Oh, my God. He was so good. But the plot is so simple and so cool and funny. Mm-hmm. It just cracks me up every time. I also love that they just refuse to call the number on the canister.
Yeah.
To like have them take it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's
never called.
That's everyone in that situation, you know, being responsible at the job when the boss leaves. And you're like, oh, shit, I really fucked up here. Like, but I can't let them know.
When they both out. They both come to from being like subjected to the poison, and Frank is just drenched in sweat, and then he calls Bert on the phone, and he like tries to shake it all off, like he's trying to. He's like, Bert,
Bert,
the canister just got a little problem here, and he's like, he's just pallor is just chalk white,
it's
and is
white.
It's disgusting on so many levels, but he plays it off so good.
Bert. It's such a good call. It's such a good. The one thing I was gonna say about the military guy, I mean, that guy's like main job is to guard that phone just in case, like after what 14 years, someone finds the canister and they call, and you get the order. Like he's always on call for that to happen.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And the one time he gets the call, it's like 1 a.m. And he's like, he can't do it when he's awake at work.
Also the solution, Bert. Too, the military solution. Oh, Bert! They just nuke the town. They just destroy it, and that's the solution.
It's the best ending. It's, it's...
Yeah.
And it really fits in with the punk rockers, too. Like,
the guy, he talks to the people on the street, and he's like, oh, so how long ago was this? And he's writing all down on a pad.
Notes.
Yeah, he's just like, you know what? We're just going to have to nuke the whole place. Because
the answer to that, how long the canisters have been breached was, you know, he wrote down like, yeah, we're going to have to nuke this, you know.
Yeah.
It's been too long.
He's like writing it down and he just underlines it as he's
just
talking.
Just no emotion.
Yeah.
And well, what about like the actual punk rockers too, and the whole cemetery vibe?
Yeah.
So that was my theory as to why I didn't see more of this as a kid, because one of the girls is like morbid. You know, she wants to like have sex with dead people or be like, you know.
Do you ever wonder about all the different ways of dying, you know, violently? I wonder, like, what would be the most horrible way to die?
Physically roughed up by dead people. And she just gets full on naked.
Yeah.
In the cemetery scene. Mm-hmm. So when I was in my head, I was like, oh, this is why I probably never saw this movie again. Because even in the follow-up scenes, she's topless or bottomless. It's like hard. It's got to be hard to turn that into a TV version.
Yeah, I can't believe how bottomless she was for the rest of the movie. And now I think maybe she had like you know,
a t-shirt.
Skin
she
type
had a
cod.
She had
no,
a cod.
She had like leggings on. Like,
oh, yeah. No, because I think I remember seeing a behind the scenes thing that the producers came to the set. I think the day they were filming her dancing on the gravestone. And they were really freaked out about it. So the makeup department made this like flesh colored cod piece for her to wear.
So she was like legit nude while filming until they told her to put on a cod?
Probably, yeah.
Oh my word.
So she was just beaving around for, and it didn't even make it to film. She just did it for the producers.
No, not for them. They were nervous about it. They
well,
didn't
yeah,
like
no,
it.
I, yeah, okay, not for them. Chummy, Jesus. You know what the producers are all like? They're like, let's put this fake wig on her. Let's put the most nasty fake wig and
everyone's
pass it off.
Everyone's wearing a bad wig.
Yeah.
Everyone's wig was so weird in that punk group. Also, what a motley crew of friends. There's no planet where that like group of people would probably be friends, right?
How could you stand to hang out with, like, even if you're the bully, you know, the
big tall guy in the leather?
Spider, yeah.
This is a way of life.
This is a way of
life. You think this is a fucking costume?
When he's turning down Linnea Quigley because she wants to F him.
Right, yeah.
It's like, get serious.
Show some respect for the fucking dead.
Yeah. That guy, he is no fun to be around. Like,
no.
Like, there's your answer. They were only friends with him because he had a car.
That's true. But even the female lead, she looks like she's straight off the set of Full House, and she's hanging with these punks.
Oh yeah,
at the cemetery.
Yeah, the fact that they all got along on some level to hang out.
There's hope probably, for society.
Yeah, I mean, this brought them all together. The like the dorky, I don't want to say dorky. That's mean.
Chuck.
Is that his name?
Is that the guy with the suit? The guy with the suit. He was like kind of the mod guy, and he had no. Get that weird haircut with zero sideburns. Just that weird. That's, just cut a little bit too
man,
high.
Man, that's stuck in Chuck's crawl, you could tell. I would never even noticed.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
The acid rain. I think the acid rain freaked me out as a kid, too. The idea that there could be acid rain that would burn your skin was really frightening for me.
Yeah.
Well, I remember reading about acid rain in, you know, third grade biology.
Scrooge. I think Scrooge probably effed with us all, right? Like,
yeah.
The melting umbrellas.
They would show pictures of forests that were dead because of acid rain.
Yeah.
And I was always like, man, is that real? I still think about it to this day.
Yeah.
Is there acid rain out there?
I mean, the way naked Linnea Quigley sells it, she's like, it's burning my skin. It's like, Jesus. She's like, this is real. She's got to get undercover right now.
Also, that Cadillac or whatever he had, no roof. And then whenever he like tries to one, I think it was maybe it was Chuck tries to fix the roof and just like makes the hole bigger, so just dumps acid rain on them in the back. Yeah. Oh my god!
Let's talk about the other aspect of this that made me fall in love with like practical effects because there are some amazing. I mean, the most famous one is the tar man in the basement. Mm-hmm.
That tar man, he operates on a different level. His movements and just the way it looks even more like a man in a suit. It's like he looks like a marionette.
Yeah.
The way
He has moved like he was rotting in a barrel of toxic waste for 30 years.
Yes.
How about the practical effect of the, you know, when you see through the window of like the face melting, but it's also like reassembling at the same time. I could never even guess how they pulled that off ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tarman's performance pretty much wrote checks for him for like horror cons for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
You don't have to work again. Just sign autographs 8 hours once a weekend and you're good.
Probably, yeah. You know, maybe next to Bub, probably the most famous like individual zombie character.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Usually, you know, it's just like zombies as a group, but he's always one that like horror nerds are like, the Tar Man. I love that
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's probably a Rucking Foughton Tar Man t-shirt floating around somewhere, $100 yes. on eBay.
Yeah.
There's like a whole, I mean, I am perpetually stuck on their list because they will not unsubscribe me, but there's it's like returnofthelivingdead.com gear.
Oh.
And it exists, and it's Fright Rags adjacent, where you either pay full price and get free shipping or you get a discount but pay for shipping. So no matter what, you're paying $35 for a t-shirt.
Maybe TerrorVision needs to do a Return of the Living Dead vinyl. I wonder what the rights are like though for that music.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, there so in 2016 areas. There was a vinyl release from Real Gone Music. Yeah.
Also, I mean, one of the most famous gifts, at least in our group, of that zombie woman on the
top. Oh, yeah.
Why do you eat people?
Not people. Brains.
Brains only.
Yes.
Why?
The pain.
What about the pain?
The pain of being dead.
The pain of being dead?
It's so awesome. It's so awesome. And her raspy, like, breathy voice.
Mm-hmm. Oh. How about the guy? Also, her speech was pretty cool, too. Just, like, her explaining what it is to be a zombie and the pain of it.
Yeah.
That was cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that so much is done with her to just justify every other zombie's existence in this movie. It's so cool because you don't have to give it to us, but it like justifies why they need brains specifically, and that they're all sentient. They know what the fuck they're doing because they're speaking into the CB radio.
Send more cops. Also, like, I think there was a scene that I wrote down where like the cop just throws his hat at the zombies as like his last ditch effort to stop them from murdering him.
I like that they're setting booby traps. Like, there's only three locations. There's like three corners of locations in this movie, and they constantly like switch the scenes. But the one with the ambulance parked there, but all the zombies are hiding off screen, and then they all just jump the alive bodies as they come.
Who is the mortician guy? Is that Ernie?
Ernie, yeah. He's the greatest.
Dan Caffa.
Yeah. Every time I watch this movie, I think there's some aspect to his character that they cut out of this movie. And I think there's some, because I always get the vibe that he's like a Nazi on the run.
My God.
And I don't know why that is.
Blonde hair.
What a strange thing.
Yeah.
He's a white Caucasian with blonde hair.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like there's some detail in the movie where I'm like, is this guy a Nazi?
Maybe there's like a scene cut out where they like try to hide in a closet. There's like a Nazi uniform.
Yeah. Cause he's such a weirdo too. Like he has that gun and like, he's like, at first he's like, no, we can't burn these weasels. You know, what are you, crazy? That's inhumane. I'll just take them into the parking lot and shoot them.
Yeah.
That was so, I mean, that's so great. The story they concoct to like get him to burn the living body parts. Like they're rabid weasels that we got shipped accidentally.
I got these weasels, Ernie. Yeah.
We're friends, right? We've been friends 20 years now. He's like, how long have we been friends?
Ernie, you got to help me out here. These weasels.
It's a July 3rd at 10 p.m.
God. Miserable.
I like Ernie's. I mean, Ernie's bleached hair. That was was a decision, and I don't know if it was bleached for something else.
Yeah, he felt like another, at least in this movie, a great character actor to be in.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Fit that role. I mean, also that whatever he puts in those body parts to burn him up. Whew,
yeah,
frightening. I mean, there's that that shot that they repeat twice of like the smoke coming from it as it's working.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like piping out of it.
It's yeah. So cool. It's like coming through the seams of the door and stuff like that. It's such a good look.
Oh, I love those. You didn't just say this, the shots of like going under the earth or coming up from the earth. Where they show like the bones and the dirt.
Oh, the layers. Yeah.
That's amazing, man.
To see the acid rain seeping down into the...
Yeah. Oh
my God.
Mm. What a great... It's a perfect movie.
Agree. I had it at 4.5 stars on my last wing, but I'm moving up to 5.
There we go.
I know Chuck is retired from the star game.
Yeah, it's free.
No stars, no likes.
It's like I'm walking around with no underwear on. It's fantastic.
My God.
I am what I am.
Crew bearing.
I appreciate you either way.
Yeah. What a great movie. Always good to go back at least once a year. Folks, if you haven't watched it, it's a fun, fun time.
Can we get a 4K? Boutique release. Has that ever happened for this movie? I didn't even think to look.
$39.99 price tag.
Is this an MGM movie? Oh, yeah, it is.
4K.
Oh, there's a Scream Factory Blu-ray.
Blu-ray.
But that's a 2K scan. But MGM. Well, there are rumors out there in the ether that Vinegar Syndrome picked up the MGM license, as they say in the biz.
Oh, jeez. Who are you plugged into right now?
We're getting the inside dish. Wow.
It's just, it's out there, man. The Blu-ray chatter. Okay. It's the Blu-ray chatter nerds, you know? So this could be a Vinegar, you know, they could do a Return of the Living Dead. We don't know.
My God. And this is the problem with these releases. So I just found 3 different versions, 3 different covers. Oh, I have no idea what the frick the difference
is.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Transfers.
No.
Blu-ray.com. You know? Is that Blu-ray.com? Is that where you go to look that stuff up?
I could do that.
He's just Googling. I mean, he's just Googling like, you know, people
like
would.
Like a regular Joe.
Yeah.
Trying to live
in I'm sorry. That's not the world we live in, though. You know?
It's not. Bat and Spider's Discord finds out that I'm just going into Google and typing in these phrases. Boolean searching.
Yeah. No.
Game over for me.
They will oust you.
All right, so let's see. That's Blu-ray's not even helping me. I'll let the Discord suss it out for me. I get Kablasted to send me a link when it's $8.99.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Yeah,
Kablasto, please. Watcher on those walls. We need him on that wall.
We need him. I need him.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, thank you, Slim, for, it's always a joy to revisit this movie. And it was a joy to discuss it with you, so.
Thanks for having me down here. You know, it's a little dank.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I think we did okay.
If you ever feel like you want to discuss a movie that's doesn't meet standards, you come on down here, Slim, anytime.
Is Fright Night too mainstream to be on Bat and Spider?
Yeah, well, I mean, the other thing we have that we stick to is that we don't pick movies we've seen before.
Uh-oh.
So, which I think has been true for most of our picks, right, Dale? On the main show.
For the most part, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's maybe one or two. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe I would do Fright Night 2 because I've never seen that.
Yeah, I've never seen Fright Night 2.
That seems more like an iffy watch.
It does. Fright Night Part 2. Also, which Discord were we talking about the Menendez brothers in Fright Night? Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The dad was like a producer, and that's why the sequel, I mean, there's a multitude of reasons related to it, but
right.
The sequel like flattered because of it.
And that's also why we can't get it on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's why it's not released elsewhere. I mean, it's a 3.0 on Letterboxd. Fright Night Part 2.
Mm.
How many reviews? 2? 26.
Let's see. I got Pop. Pop gave it 3.5 stars. Wow. Yoli gave it 4.
Wow.
Fungi 72, 3.5.
Oh, it's up there. And
so,
and make no bones about it. We could do a Fright Night episode if people are willing to pay for it here in the Kofi Black Dungeon. Chuck, I'm sorry. I will overrule you.
Check the votes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fright Night Part 2 would be a fun watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Even if it's, I mean, put that on the main feed. I'll download that.
Yeah, we do Fright Night in here with the moist walls and the slick surfaces. We do Fright Night 2 out there.
Whoa. The fuck was that?
Shut him down!
Yeah. dogs.
Wow.
Yep, for veterinarian schools. Oh, we get a lot of orders for split dogs.
That's really rad.
Yeah. Don't fool around. You're learning.